Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, July 10th, 2020. I'm Beckler. Shauna's not here to stop me from doing that. Shauna's in Saskatchewan. She's visiting her boyfriend, Cliff. I think they're at Waskasoo Lake this weekend in the great province of Saskatchewan, looking for some hot cousins. And I've told you before about how when Shauna is away, it sometimes takes me a couple days to, like, get into the swing of doing the show by myself, and I'm usually not happy with, like, the first couple shows if she's gone for a stretch of time. She's only gone today this time. She'll be back Monday. But that wasn't the case this time around. I felt really good on the show this morning, and I think, at least I hope, you're going to enjoy it even without Shauna today. So let's go.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got a message from one of my best buds yesterday who's a friend of the show, friend of the podcast. I've talked about him in the past. He was the guy who was jamming with his friends past noise curfew, and his neighbor tried to kick down his garage door.
Open it up!
No, I think you're a little too angry. I don't think I'm going to do that.
He was also, I mentioned the time that he had some trouble with his upstairs neighbors and they got evicted for trashing the place. And then it turns out they were gang affiliated and threatened to come back at him. So now this is what happened to him yesterday. He was going to a thrift store to get some clothes for camping, and he was in the parking lot, and two people, a man and a woman, were running out of the store with a shopping cart full of items that they had stolen. And someone from inside the store was yelling after them that they were banned from the store now. And they turned around and started to run back in. I don't know if they were going to go cause more trouble for cashiers or the management or whatever, but my friend saw this all happening and took out his phone and started filming it. And then when these two people, the two thieves, came back out of the store, they saw that he was filming, and they turned and charged at him and tried to stab him with a syringe and take his phone. And he showed me the video, and, like, you can see them running right at him, and then the phone, like, drops to the ground as he tries to back up, and there's a bit of a scuffle. They didn't end up getting him with the syringe, thank God. And my friend is he's a really tough guy. He can handle himself, but when you see a syringe in the mix, I don't think anybody's gonna mess with that. So he just tried to keep good distance between himself and them, and other people saw what was going on and started to head towards them, and then these two people took off and the police came, and they never ended up finding the two people, I guess. But man, scary moment. You're just going to do a little shopping for a camping trip and you almost get stabbed with a syringe. What a wild world we're living in. I guess the moral of that story is that, you know, these days when we see conflict unfolding, we think, I'm not going to get involved, I'm just going to film this, and then there'll be a record of it, there'll be evidence. But even that can put you in harm's way.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was just mentioning a thrift shop. Thrifting is a real skill, isn't it? And it's a skill that I don't really have. There are some people who are so good at it. My youngest brother, he can go into a thrift shop and pull out pieces that I would never have even looked at and make that part of a super cool outfit. And then you see it all put together and you're like, oh, I wish I had that. But I wouldn't, you got to have the eye for it. I wouldn't know. And I imagine the best pieces get picked up pretty quick, right? Like, if you're a serious thrifter, do you go first thing in the morning when the store opens? Do you go every day? Do you know the days when that particular store gets new shipments? And are there regulars at the thrift shop? Like, are you on a first-name basis with the staff there because you're thrifting so often? I saw a tweet from a guy before all the pandemic stuff happened. Bit of a hipster, and he was asking a thrift store if they would let him in just for a quick sniff. So he obviously loves the smell of thrift stores. I didn't think that was a feature. I thought that was something that you tolerated because of all the other benefits to thrifting. I struggle at thrift stores too because of my size. Like, I go to the end of the rack, I look through the dozen items that fit. Nope, nothing cool there. All right, that was a good day of thrifting, and then I go home empty-handed. Actually, my favorite pair of sweatpants were a thrift store purchase, though. I call them my pre-foofed in sweats.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
The moms of one of my boys' friends was telling us that she got sewered by the ice cream truck the other night. It came by at 9 p.m., which is past the bedtimes of a good chunk of the ice cream truck clientele. And now I realize that ice cream trucks have a pretty short window where they can make sales. But, like, come on, ice cream man. You don't need to be making any more enemies right now. They're already trying to cancel ice cream trucks. Oh, you didn't hear about this one? Well, settle in. Let me tell you about it. So the song that the ice cream truck plays. That's Turkey in the Straw. And there are a buttload of different sets of lyrics to that tune, including a few with some very racist lyrics, which, of course, I will not repeat. It's also basically the same tune as Do Your Ears Hang Low, which itself has a bunch of different versions because it was originally a song sung by soldiers called Do Your Balls Hang Low. Which raises the question, if a tune has many, many different sets of lyrics, and a few of them are racist, does that make the melody itself racist? A tune without lyrics played from an ice cream truck, can that be racist? Can a group of notes even be racist? I want to support the hardworking, noble ice cream truck drivers of Canada, but if they're getting my kids all cranked up at 9 p.m., it's going to be tough.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Army, do you ever have watched that Dee Snider interview in front of Congress for that when they were labeling music?
The Tipper Gore one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen part of it. I don't remember it very well.
The argument is Tipper Gore wanted to hear the bad crap in the song, right?
Right, right.
That's what you want to, like, when I hear that song, I just think it's annoying. Nothing racist comes to mind. If you want to hear racist stuff, you'll hear it because you're a racist.
I agree, man. And, like, when you hear the racist lyrics, like, there's no question. They are very racist, but they are one of 100 different rewrites of that song. So, like, is the tune gone forever because one racist wrote some lyrics to it? Is that...
No. Not at all.
No. I didn't...
Whatever you want to listen to. If you like the racist song, then that's what you hear. I hear Do Your Balls Hang Low. Right?
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I'm heading camping this weekend, and I'm wondering, has anybody come up with any solutions to having to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night when you're staying in a tent? Like, even when you're in your own house and you got to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, it kind of sucks. But it sucks even more when you're in a tent and you have to go into the dark forest where mosquitoes are definitely going to chew on your coin purse. There may be bears. Are there any, like, civilized solutions? Any, you know, like, you could put a piss jug in the tent, but I'm looking for something a little more than that is what I'm trying to say. I just want a jug in the tent that, you know, could get tipped over. Got the whole family in there. Some sort of hose system to the outside. Is there anything like that? My tent has a small flap near the ground, and I don't know what it's for. It's too low to be a piss-specific flap, but that hasn't stopped me from using it in the past. You have to kind of, like, you know, if it's really raining, you have to kind of, where it is, like, in the location in the tent, you have to kind of bend your whole body into an L shape and then lay on your side. It's not graceful. We'll say that. Also, staying in a tent and having to go outside to use the bathroom makes me so grateful for indoor plumbing. Like, people, you got to think of people had outhouses. It wasn't that long ago. I dated a girl whose mom grew up in a farm in Saskatchewan where they did not have running water and they had an outhouse. And that's like one generation ago from me. So that, I'll never complain about having to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night again, because at least I'm not going outside in the winter. Did they use, like, chamber pots? Or did they actually go outside? I can't see, like, getting dressed and going out to some freezing cold outhouse in the middle of a winter night. They must have used a chamber pot, which is really just a fancy word for a piss jug.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My little guy Brigham, he's 3. He got stung by a bee yesterday. He stepped on it, got stung on the foot. That's a bad spot to get stung. He's okay. He's not allergic or anything. We kept a close eye on him, but he was walking through the grass barefoot, and I always tell him, Brigham, put your shoes on when you're outside, and he never listens. And he was just walking through the grass, and he started wailing. He was so upset, and I thought maybe he had stepped on a stick or something sharp in the grass, and I went over, and nope, there was a bee crawling around right by his foot. Now, normally, I would never kill a bee, Bees are great, and their populations are in decline. We need to protect the bees. But I killed this one. He was going to die anyway. Bees die after they sting someone, right? Which is why they only sting as a last resort. So, if anyone asks, I was putting the bee out of his misery. I was sparing him from a slow, inevitable death. But as far as Brigham is concerned, that was revenge killing.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
If you're out of work right now, I have a job lead for you. You might even be able to collect the rest of your CERB here and take this job. I saw the job numbers this morning, and I can't find that number again, but I want to say it's 135,000 is what Alberta has lost in the last year. Don't take my word for that. I can't find the source on that. But anyways, here's one you might be able to apply for. And I'm already looking forward to the messages I'll get after I read this. Like, hey, what was that job you were talking about? So I was scrolling through Twitter, and I stumbled across this one. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says, we are looking for a roommate / coworker to join us. If you're interested in making a living from home, message us and we'll send you the ad. This would be ideal for someone new to the industry and looking to learn in a safe, fun environment. And that is from an amateur porn company. So what's going on here is I guess they want someone to move in with them and then produce some adult content. So you're kind of like, you're all living in the same house and you're filming content and you're putting it on the internet. And you know what? Let me just say, I don't judge anyone's lifestyle in the slightest. If that arrangement works for you, it's absolutely none of my business. But I'm thinking that the candidates who are going to qualify for this job are going to be a very specific type of person. So I don't know if the two people, it sounds like there's two people living in the house right now, male or female. I have no idea. But if you're a successful candidate for this job, you have to be willing to rinse your coworkers, film it and put it online. And also then you have to live with them. So that's going to be a very specific type of person. You're going to have to really mesh well with the people you are working and scronking with. So I don't, you can go looking for that if you think you might be qualified. I'm not going to post it.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
It's the most important part of the entire week on this radio program, the Friday morning pizza chat. Does that count as a Rick rolling? I also don't agree with the lyrics. He says it's the worst food. What? What? Anyway, Shauna told us a couple of stories recently on the show about being visited by beer angels. She was in a hotel hot tub before COVID and she ran out of beer and there was a guy up three floors above who started bombing beer cans down into the hot tub for them. And then she had a guy recently pick up the tab for her and her entire table, all their beer and shots included, and she called them both beer angels. Well, I had an experience with a pizza angel once. This isn't the ghost pizza story. That's a story for another time, but an actual pizza angel. And I can't believe I've never told this story before, but this was quite a few years ago. I was in Saskatoon and I was walking from a party to a bar or a bar to a party. I don't remember. Late at night, it was freezing cold outside and I'd had quite a few drinks. So I was out for a bit of a stumble, miserable. And I look ahead and in the distance, I see this guy walking toward me. And you always are on high alert at that hour. The neighborhood wasn't super safe either. I probably shouldn't have been out there. So I had my guard up. And as he gets closer, I can see that he's carrying something. He's carrying a box, a Little Caesars hot and ready box, steaming in the frigid air. It was both hot and ready, and those are two of the most important adjectives when it comes to late night pizza. And as he got closer, I just said to him, and this may have come across threatening to him, I certainly didn't intend for it to, but I said, is that a hot and ready? And he said, yeah, would you like a piece? And he opened it up, and sure enough, a piping hot and ready pepperoni pizza from Little Caesars. So I took a slice and he said, go ahead, take another. So I did. And then he closed the box and carried on his merry way. And I finished my drunken walk double fisting Little Caesars hot and ready slices. I don't know where that man came from. There wasn't even a Little Caesars in the area. So where did he get this? Where did he come from? Where did he get this pizza? I believe to this day that I was touched by an angel.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
With all these sports teams who are under pressure to change their controversial names right now, the Edmonton Eskimos, Washington Redskins, the Chicago Blackhawks, who said they will not be changing their name, the Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians might be the first to actually do it. I got a message from friend of the show, Fred, who is originally from Cleveland, and he was saying that it's early right now, but there's talk of the team taking the name of a pro baseball team from the 1800s in Cleveland called the Spiders. Now, without getting too deep into the argument about whether or not these teams should change their names, we can all probably agree that the Cleveland Spiders is simply a better name, right? If you knew nothing else about baseball or the team or the controversy around their name, Cleveland Spiders is a great name for a ball team. There's some other things to consider, too. So we know baseball fans friggin' love nostalgia. We also know that the owners of pro sports teams friggin' love money. And even if they have some angry fans initially, which they probably would, I think that would pass, and then they'd be able to sell millions of dollars worth of Cleveland Spiders gear. And fans will buy it. Sports fans will buy whatever the team tells them to. Do you remember when the Oilers made the playoffs a few years ago? The only time they've made the playoffs in my adult life? In a 16-team playoff format with four first-round picks? That season coincided with the introduction of their new orange jerseys, and fans just gobbled them up. The team said, "Our fans are the Orange Crush now." And fans said, "We are the Orange Crush. And don't you dare come to a playoff game without a new orange jersey. We are the Orange Crush." So I think the Cleveland Spiders could survive a name change and probably even profit from it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You probably heard the news from earlier this week that the federal government is going to be running a deficit this year of $343 billion. Apparently that's the most since wartime. And I'm not going to comment on whether or not it was the right decision for the federal government to spend that money. I simply don't know. It seems like it may have been necessary. And I was also reassured by a conversation we had a couple months back with our economist friend of the show, Trevor Toome, who said that even though, I think that the number was around $200 billion then, and he said even though it is a lot of money, the interest rates are so low right now that it's not going to make that huge of a difference in the money that we pay as taxpayers. I don't know how long it's going to take us to dig out from this one. We might have to have Trevor on the show again soon to talk about that. But I was trying to put that number into perspective because $343 billion is something that you can't even really think about if you're just a regular person, can you? So here are some ways of thinking about that. That I got the calculator out last night, and this will maybe give you a little bit of perspective. Three different ways to think of it. Number one, so there are just under 500,000 private dwellings in Calgary at an average cost of $460,000. So the value of all the houses and apartments in Calgary is $225 billion. So with that money, you could buy every house and apartment in Calgary and still have $120 billion left over. That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? Like, you could easily buy every homeless person in Canada and the U.S. their own big, nice house. You could end homelessness in this country like 30 times over with that amount of money. $343 billion would likely be enough to connect every major city in Canada by high-speed rail and finish every city's transit system. So, I mean, obviously this was an emergency situation, but it just gives you a little bit of perspective of what that amount of money can accomplish. It's a staggering amount of money. The last one I want to just mention here is that the International Space Station, when it was launched, cost a little over $100 billion. So Canada could have basically three of our own International Space Stations. It'd be pretty roomy, wouldn't it? I've got another confession to make. There's been something kind of beautiful happen on this show over the years, and it's that people now send us the photos of the skullets that they come across in their day-to-day lives. So we get all kinds of skullet photos sent to us, Shauna and I. And this past week has been a big week for skullets. I think we had four submissions, four different beautiful skullets sent to us. It's almost like a bit of a skullet outbreak right now. I've noticed another outbreak too, and that is an outbreak of mullets on little kids again. I had my boys at the park just the other day, and there was a kid there with this beaver tail of a mullet. And I was like, what year is it? I said, careful, boys. Don't get too close to that thing. And then my wife has decided that maybe she wants to buy a little trailer and fix it up. So she sent me a photo of one that she found. And there was a picture of the family who's selling it included. And the kid has got this this tight little mullet, this little NASCAR of a mullet on him. And I'm thinking, okay, you know that trailer has been hauled out to an off-road staging area where that kid hopped on his dirt bike and brapped into the forest, stops, takes out a slingshot, shoots a squirrel, keeps going.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.